This is PhotoBiz X, episode number 307. And today we're talking video, marketing with video, and creating content in general to grow your photography business. Our special guest is Taylor Jackson. That interview's coming up in just a minute.
Are you planning to have a successful wedding and portrait photography business? Join Andrew as he interviews successful photographers and business experts to fast-track your success. Welcome to the PhotoBiz Exposed podcast with your host, Andrew Helmich.
Hey, it's Andrew Helmich here from Impact Images, and welcome to this episode of the podcast. Today's guest, Taylor Jackson, has been recommended to me over and over as a suggested guest for the show, so I am sure you're going to love what he has to share in today's interview. As far as me and my week goes, it's mostly been preparing for the Evergreen Facebook Ads Funnels course, which is kicking off with lesson one on Wednesday, so 2 days from now at 8 a.m. Australian Eastern Time. There is still time to register for that course if you want to. It's a three-week live course. There will be recordings, so you can access the recordings if you can't make the live sessions. And the focus of the course is building an evergreen Facebook ad funnel, which is also going to incorporate your website and email marketing, and creating it in a way that is strategic, raises your profile, positions you as an expert in your local area for your genre of photography, and draws your potential and ideal clients in with your knowledge, with your photography, your skills, and also your personality. So we're going to do that in a way that is measurable and in a way that you can have set up and let run long-term while bringing in leads. So that's the focus of the course. Session one is the theory behind setting up the funnel. Session two will be all about creating your actual ads, and there will be homework between each of these sessions. And session three will be focused on a couple of more advanced strategic approaches to building audiences and targeting specific places or people in particular places. So yeah, it's going to be jam-packed. There's a separate Facebook group for course members, so we'll be able to talk in there, share wins, collaborate, work on each other's copy, help each other out in there as much as possible. And you can get access to the course and the group and the training, like everything that goes with it, for $97. So if you do want to register for that, head over to photobizx.com/funnel. That's F-U-N-N-E-L. If you can't make one or more of the sessions, there are recordings, so you can catch up and you will get individual help inside the Facebook group in regards to setting up your funnel, working on your ad copy, and giving you ideas to build out your own funnel to grow your business and bring in the leads. I'm already sidetracked because that's not really what I wanted to tell you about off the bat. So I'm sitting here, I'm recording the intro for today's episode. I'm just back from the gym. I've had a few weeks off the gym. I've still been staying fit, riding my bike a lot, but the gym took a back seat for a little while, as it does. I'm sure you're the same if you are a gym goer or you have a gym membership. It tends to be a week or two or three that just don't get there. But my gym is located down opposite Terrigal Beach, and I walked out of the gym this morning. It's a beautiful blue sky day. The temperature was just lovely. There were people walking dogs and going for runs. That the coffee shop at the surf club was totally packed. The beach looked like the perfect beach setting if you were to imagine one in a movie or a TV show. Like, it was picture perfect. It really was. I thought to myself, wow, not only am I lucky to be living here, great. I mean, you probably have somewhere beautiful near you as well, right? We all do. We all live in, I'm hoping, in somewhere that has some beautiful places. And that's the reason why you're living where you do. But what really struck me, above and beyond the beauty of the location and the day, is that I can sit down here and enjoy it if I want to for a little while now. I'm not racing off to catch a train or a bus to get to work. I have an office day scheduled, a studio day, because it's Monday, it's podcast day for me. But I get to dictate my timetable. I'm not answering to anyone else. I know what I've got to get done, but I am my own boss, apart from Linda. But you know what I mean. It's pretty damn cool to be our own boss. And if that's the position that you're in, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. And maybe you do have a full-time job and you're aiming towards becoming a full-time photographer. I can tell you, it's hard work. It is. You probably know that if you listen to this podcast and you're looking at building a business. But speak to any photographer that does have a successful business. They will tell you that it takes hard work, but it is so, so good, so rewarding, and it's so nice being responsible for our own destiny and being answerable to ourselves, being responsible for producing income and being paid to do something that we love to do. So you could be asking, you know, why aren't I still down the beach? Why aren't I spending time in that idyllic location? Well, I do have work to do. I do have the podcast to get out. I've got shoots to edit. Well, that's a bit of a lie because Linda and Tennille will be doing the editing for the shoots that I did last week. But I do have other things to do in the business. So it isn't all spending time at the beach, but the option is there. If I want to take an hour or two and enjoy that, I can go and do that. I can fit my lifestyle and what I want to be doing around the work that I book in or vice versa. So yeah, it struck me as pretty cool. And look, and I know it is tough. It's tough creating and building and maintaining a successful photography business. It does take work. And I see lots of discussions about, you know, photographers operating just above the poverty line or not being as profitable as they could be if they were working in, say, a corporate or a regular job. And yes, I would say that's true. And I would say I was in that category early on in my career. But geez, I still loved it. I loved being responsible for the income that was coming in. I loved getting paid to produce photography work that people wanted to pay me for. That was amazing. I love that. And I love working on my business and attracting new clients. And I just love the whole thing. And I'm guessing you're the same. And yeah, it's pretty special. I think we have to remind ourselves sometimes that we are in a pretty lucky position. If you are a listener that has a full-time photography business, or maybe you're heading that way, we are the lucky ones. There's no two ways about it to me. If you can make an income doing what you love to do, then you are lucky. And if you live in a lovely place as well, on top of that, you are, yeah. It's getting to be as good as it gets, in my mind anyway. I hope you feel the same way about your business and what you're doing and your life in general. I hope it's as satisfying to you and for you as it is for me.
And now, a macro look at our last episode.
In last week's episode, I interviewed Ivan Mana. He is a Google AdWords expert. The episode was different to the usual. It was a step-by-step walkthrough on how to set up your very first Google AdWords campaign. And the response from members has been fantastic. And it turns out that it's not uncommon if you run a Google AdWords campaign in the past to have spent way more than you wanted to and you didn't get the results that you were hoping for. Well, if that's you, get back and have a listen to last week's episode with Ivan, because the response, like I said, has been great from members. And I can tell you two particular members, Nicole Abbott and Maz Peterson, both had similar things to say. Nicole says, listening to Ivan was great. I learned how to set a maximum spend limit and how to set the broad match toggle, which was eye-opening. And that is how I assume my last ads cost skyrocketed. So that was Nicole. Maz Peterson, she says, the interview totally just saved my butt. I listened to the episode and did everything step by step. It turns out that when I did my campaign last night without Ivan, I was using some kind of express version of AdWords and I didn't have all the options available that he went through in the interview. So yeah, if you've tried Google AdWords in the past and had no success, or you are looking at implementing AdWords into your marketing strategies, do yourself a favor, sit down at your computer and have a listen to the episode with Ivan, because he will take you through setting up that campaign step by step. And if you are listening to that episode, we're going to give it a go. Make sure you are at your computer. This is not the episode to listen to while you're at the gym or driving somewhere, because it really is a step-by-step how-to episode. You want to be in front of your computer with Google AdWords open and setting up your campaign as you go. Episode 306 with Ivan Mana, if you want to get started with Google AdWords or have another go at it if you've tried in the past.
You're listening to the number one photography business podcast with Andrew Helmich, photobizx.com.
Alrighty, we're going to jump into this interview with Taylor Jackson in just a second. If you are hearing this announcement, it does mean you are listening to the free podcast episode, which means you are going to get a ton of info and help from Taylor in the first half of the interview, but I am saving the second half for premium members only. So if you love what you're hearing in the first half and you want to hear the rest of the information that Taylor shares in this interview, head over to photobizx.com/try. And for $1, you can get a premium membership. It's a trial membership, which gives you full access for 30 days. You can hear the full interview with Taylor Jackson today. You can get access to the full back catalog. You'll get an invite to the members Facebook group, and I'll help you get set up into your very own mastermind group as well. It's all part of the premium membership. And if you never, ever want to be stuck for a marketing idea when you wake up on a Monday morning, then you will love your membership, I can promise you, because you will never be short of an idea again on how to improve your photography business, how to generate more leads, more bookings, and make bigger sales, because that's the only thing that we focus on in the podcast. So photobizx.com/try if you want to grab one of those $1 trial memberships.
Welcome to another Great Eye for Business. It's time for Andrew's special guest.
Today's guest looks like he is living the dream. And I mean, really, as a photographer, life doesn't look like it could be any better for this guy. He travels the world creating images, and he gets to travel for free because of his camera. He has a YouTube channel with over 165,000 subscribers where he shares what and how he does what he does. He shoots weddings and travel content. The weddings he shoots are 90% totally candid, and 80% of his couples hire him to shoot both stills and video. On his website, he says he's the first photographer in the world to offer both photography and highlight film photography as one person. He started out as a music photographer and really just to take cool photos of his friends, but he went pro when American Idol used one of his images on season 2 of 2003. This led to travel and shooting weddings around the world. Nowadays, he's shooting all kinds of stuff all around the world. I'm talking about Taylor Jackson, and I'm rapt to have him here with us now. Taylor, welcome, mate.
Thank you so much. That was the most professional intro I've ever heard. I don't know how to feel right now. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me as well.
Is life as good as it looks? I mean, it looks amazing.
Yeah, well, it's like, I guess it's the same that my passion became my business. So it's always kind of a work in progress, but I have no problems working and putting in the work in order to kind of reap the reward of it. And everything's kind of intertwined. And my wife, Lindsay, travels, and she's a photographer as well. And I feel like it is a very good life that we've designed, and definitely done it with intent and kind of like pruned away the parts of it we didn't like or the parts we didn't like to do in order to add more of the fun stuff. So yeah, 15 years in and life is pretty good.
Well, you said something interesting there. You said that you've made your business, you turned your passion into your business. And often when that happens, that the passion seems to die a little bit, but that doesn't look like it's the case with you, is it?
No. So I think there's specific things that I would find myself doing that, like a few commercial styles of photography that I just really wasn't passionate about, that I was 100% just like in it for the paycheck. And fortunately enough, over like the period of my career, that I've been able to just kind of replace that stuff that I didn't really love to do with the stuff that was at least more fun for me. But it's definitely like, it's a weird balance. And I don't think that you ever get it quite right, especially work-life balance. Like when you're self-employed doing something that you like to do, it's a real challenge of a thing.
Okay, so what is work-life balance for you? I mean, it sounds like you're working 7 days a week. I don't know if that's the case.
It is some of the time, I would say, for sure. My life kind of goes in seasons, I would say, that I begin in kind of, I would say, like if January is the beginning of kind of the quote-unquote season, as far as like what I'm doing is a lot of travel content, a lot of kind of almost personal projects with the intent to make those personal projects a commercial project at some point, or at least have it generate money. So if I am doing something that's fun, I'm never really doing it just for fun. I'm usually doing it with an intent to bring it to market at some point, if it continues to be fun. And then once summer here hits around kind of like, I would say May, pretty much all the way through to October, I did 72 weddings this year. So that is kind of like my summer season. And then kind of back to whatever I want to be doing in the fall. So kind of the reverse teacher model, where instead of getting the summer off, I get the winter off. And in that time, just cultivating projects that I think that I might want to be doing or that I might like to be hired to do. I think the thing that I learned early on with weddings and also commercial was that I really just wanted to make the portfolio that I wanted to be shooting. And then once you kind of have that portfolio and maybe you've spent some money or a lot of extra effort to like create what your ideal dream life is to put it up on your website, at that point, people actually start hiring you for it because they see that like, oh, this is the style of stuff that you do. So that was kind of my intent, I guess, with everything that I create.
Nice. So, I mean, where did your passion lay at the moment? Is it weddings? Is it commercial work? Like, what is it?
So I'm currently in the weirdest season of my life, I think. So I've decided this year, and this is completely, I'm not going to say completely unrelated, but it's very unrelated to photography. As of like this week, I've launched, essentially I'm doing a music project where the idea is to become a profitable musician before the end of the year, because I feel like that is by far the most oversaturated field. Like that we're photographers, like we complain about our market being oversaturated a lot, but I almost feel like the photography market being oversaturated is a good thing because it shows you can actually make money and that people are willing to pay for it. Music, on the other hand, pretty much all of my friends, like I don't really know anyone running like a six-figure music company, and I know a lot of six-figure photographers. So I've decided to kind of venture into that as a marketing experiment, and then also to just kind of learn another oversaturated field in order to kind of, I guess, digest what that's like and then bring those marketing strategies and that what I learned doing that back to photography and back to either teaching on YouTube or through podcasts or whatever.
I mean, I saw your Facebook page come up today for the music thing, and I thought, wow, what a crazy experiment. Okay, so I mean, how far along are you with this, and do you think there's going to be a lot of parallels between, you know, being a successful musician and a successful photographer?
I do. I think that the reason that I'm qualified, so I'm not a good musician, I'm not a good singer, I'm not a good performer, I'm crazy shy and introverted, but I do know how to create content. And I feel like the music economy has kind of taken a shift towards like, you're no longer really an artist first, you're like a marketing machine first. And I feel like I'm good at the marketing aspect of it. So I'm hoping that with my, I guess, better than average marketing skills, I'm able to make up for my very, very subpar actual musical skills. So if it's successful, it's like a full testament to just like really focusing on marketing. And I feel like that's completely, there's parallels in photography or any sort of art or creativity space that you'd want to be in.
Yeah. I really want to dive into what you've done so the listener can learn from what you've actually done in the past. But looking at your music project, if you want to call it that, your experiment, can you give me an outline of the marketing that you're going to be doing to take it from zero to six figures? What's the plan?
It's pretty much, it all kind of comes back to just creating good content, creating entertaining content, and creating content that is helpful, I think, or at least like it gives you some sort of value by watching it. And I feel like that's kind of what I've been at least teaching with photography as well, that like you need to go out of your way to be making promotional videos and doing video content and getting your face in front of the screen, because I feel like that's the way you take the next step, that once you start almost promoting yourself as like this little weird micro niche like celebrity or whatever you want to call it, I feel like at that point you kind of make a little bit of a bridge from just like being a struggling artist to somebody that is actually being pursued by commercial clients, by brides, or by whoever you kind of want to be pursued by. As long as you're creating content that is relevant to their market, I think that that's kind of the way to do it. So hoping that that's also the parallel in music, we'll find out.
I mean, the cynical side of me, and maybe the listener, they're going to look at your Instagram account, for example, and say, look, well, you've got 80-something thousand followers. So you know, you're starting with a pretty awesome following. How many of those followers on Instagram do you think are going to convert to, you know, your music fans?
I don't know. I honestly don't. The thing that I was the most nervous about was, it actually ended up going okay, uploading the first video to YouTube. Because I was like, all of these people, that pretty much all my YouTube content is wedding photography, like live weddings, whatever. And to just be like, yeah, like here's a clip, here's a 20-minute documentary every single month of me trying to become a musician. I figured that that was going to be met with a lot of negative resistance, but it actually turned out kind of okay. Everybody's just like, they think it's so weird. And I think that that's another thing that I guess I'm a little bit known for, is just like, yeah, let's drive 15 hours to the original Outback Steakhouse just to like make the weirdest documentary because we have like 3 days off. And rather than just like going and drinking beers on a beach somewhere, I'd way rather be always creating content. So doing weird projects, I think, is maybe normal to my audience at this point.
Well, that brings up an interesting question. What was your thought process in sharing your music stuff on your established photography pages? Was it like, is the plan now to split the two profiles, or are you going to keep feeding your music stuff to your photography viewers?
I think that it's going to kind of all stay in one place for now, at least, because I feel like as long as it is kind of, it is a marketing experiment after all. So I feel like it's completely relevant to anyone that was kind of engaged in the photography side of things. And I think it's like an interesting story that if you've discovered me randomly on the internet and now I'm doing this thing and you want to follow along, like If I saw somebody doing this project, I'd be following along for sure, because it's just so bizarre and strange to go that far out of your comfort zone, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. So do you keep then producing content for your established photographer followers?
Yeah, so I have a whole queue of content. The struggle for me is always just finding time to edit. So this year I have all my wedding photo video outsourced because that's kind of the core of my business. I have yet to really get much assistance in the YouTube space. And I just like massively fell behind last year. So I've been doing some content, and I have a Patreon that I'm doing Monday and Wednesday video and podcast in. And then other than that, in about 2 to 3 weeks from now, lots of content's going to start rolling out on YouTube. Sorry to timestamp it there, but...
No, okay, that's cool. So when you say Patreon, I only know Patreon as the platform where people can, you know, donate to an artist to support them. Is that what you're doing?
Essentially, yeah. I just kind of have a gallery of content, I guess. It's like videos every Monday and then podcasts every Wednesday, as well as like other things like my contract and my presets are up there and a bunch of other stuff. And you basically sign in for like $20 a month, and that's kind of where all that content lives.
Cool. Okay. So people can join as a member and then get access to your videos as they come out and access to the full back catalog.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so in that Patreon account, is that going to be your music or your photography stuff or both?
That one's all photography, until if something very miraculous happens with the music, I'll find a way to cover it in with like the lens of a photographer so that I'm able to convey that information in a way that makes a lot more sense. But yeah, that's very much a photography thing. Photography only. YouTube is a little bit more experimental over this year, I guess.
Okay, what did Lindsay say when you came to her with his ideas? I want to be a rock star. I mean, how did you present it to her?
I guess because I do start a lot of projects, I've learned to not really tell anyone until it's at least in a place that there's something to show. And I've actually figured out what it was, because originally with the music project, I wanted it to be like serious music. And then I realized pretty quickly on that I really can't, that I'm not comfortable. Like when I hear myself singing a serious song, like it's really cringeworthy for me. So I thought I'd go into a bit of a different space where it's a little bit more of a commentary kind of on like business and influencer culture and all kinds of different stuff. So at that point I kind of made that switch. And then I figured that was actually the project. At that point I went to my friends to tell them what I was up to once I had a little bit. And everyone's always supportive. It's like, it's funny at first, and then people are happy to support, I guess.
Have you ever failed at anything that you've tried?
Yeah, lots of things. I feel like there's successes kind of within every failure. So you kind of learn those and you leapfrog those forward into your next project. But I don't think I've had anything that's just been like a straight colossal failure that was a complete and utter waste of time. At the end of the day, usually at least I get to create something. So I'm either creating photo or video content or audio content or learning, I don't know, like the skills that I lack, like public speaking, and trying to at least like become satisfactory in a lot of different levels.
Nice. Mate, let me bring it back to photography and the photographer that's listening. You know, you're big on YouTube, you're big on video, and I know that most photographers, they're focusing on stills only. How important is video today?
I guess it completely depends on who you talk to. I personally think that it's definitely the greatest promotional tool that we pretty much all have access to as photographers. And even if your camera doesn't shoot video, you probably have an iPhone or a GoPro or something that can create like surprisingly good quality video. I think it's the best way to show people kind of the behind the scenes of what you do, which I think is very sticky for specifically brides. Like if I can show them behind the scenes at a wedding and they can come with me and like see how I actually interact with people, it removes a lot of the doubt and worry and unknownness, I guess, of the actual wedding day. And at that point, I feel like it's like they've already kind of experienced a wedding day with me. So now it's very easy for them to email and get in touch and then kind of go from there and potentially book.
Okay, well, let's talk about that. How does the listener, how do they shoot that content? Do they bring their partner along? Do they hire someone? Do they hire a videographer? How do they get that content?
I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. I think that like, even if you have a GoPro 7, like, honestly, that's like an amazing tool. That the stabilization, the software stabilization that they put into it is really, really insane. And as long as you're outside in somewhat good lighting conditions, it's really, really a phenomenal tool. And you can put that in the hands of pretty much anyone. So if you have a lighting assistant that's coming, or if you have a second photographer even, or you can just like mount it to your camera and try to look maybe not as weird as, it looks pretty weird when you mount a GoPro to your camera, but it gives a perspective that you wouldn't necessarily, that no video person could come and really capture for you. And then the other bonus with that is that you kind of have all the rolling audio of everything. So you're able to kind of cut and choose what you use to just really kind of create the best kind of behind the scenes video. And whether that becomes a promotional video for you, or it's just a kind of a straight up like, hey, like here's how I took these five photos that you've seen on Instagram. I think it does a lot of really good things.
All right. I mean, I've got 1,000 questions for you. Okay, let's say that the listener wants to dabble. They want to show a behind-the-scenes video, or maybe they want to show, you know, the five images on Instagram, how they shot those. Which way should you go first? What's your advice to the photographer listening that wants to use video for marketing?
I would say if you can bring someone with you, I feel like, at least in my experience for even like commercial shoots, as well as weddings for sure, is that if somebody can hire you for both photo and video, you become a very attractive person to hire. So if you either learn to do that yourself, or if you have a very close relationship with somebody else that does video, start there. And just like if you're doing a styled shoot, or if you're just like out doing a job that doesn't really have a whole lot of risk associated to it, like a wedding might be a bit of a, if they're there to shoot video, they should be shooting video of the wedding. But like, as far as creating content, like just start somewhere. I think it's the most important thing, that a lot of us kind of just get paralyzed by the thought of like how big this project's going to be. But realistically, like you can have somebody come with you as like a third shooter, roll some video at a wedding, and then have that edited and on the internet by like Monday, Tuesday, if you really want to.
And do I need things like lapel mics or radio mics? Do I need to do all that sort of stuff? I can just get audio in camera.
I would say just kind of begin with the basics and see what you lack. The thing that I rely a lot on is that I'll just kind of get a lot of voiceover in there. So if I don't have good audio, or sometimes it's just impossible to get audio if there's like music, and just because of copyright that you can't use, that I do rely a lot on voiceover. And especially if you're just telling your story, if it's a promotional video, all you need is like a minute and a half of footage of you like doing the thing that you do and looking comfortable at it. And then you can just write a script and just voice it over and put some music. And that is way better than having absolutely nothing out there or just a text bio.
Okay, cool. Okay, so I don't need to go and look at your videos and think, oh my God, how can I compete with Taylor? Look what he's doing. I can just do my own thing.
Yeah,
for sure.
It can
be simple. Okay. Let's say I've got this 2 minutes or minute and a half of behind the scenes video and I look comfortable. You know, the bride and groom are having fun. So is the bridal party, is a few laughs. I interlace a couple of the shots from that wedding. And it could, you know, it could be the same for a portrait or a family session. What do you suggest we do with that video?
I use it as like when people come to my website, that's the first thing that they see, because I really want to, I either want people to connect very real and be like, it's like, okay, we understand Taylor, or I want it to be the opposite where they just really get repelled quickly and they're like, oh, this isn't the guy for us. And both of those outcomes are awesome, because if you do have kind of a firm stance on who you are and what you want to create, and as far as like what I would suggest for that, it's whatever, in the instance of weddings, at least, like it's, I just tell people what my ideal day is for a wedding. And if people connect with that, if they are like, oh, cool, like we don't want an hour photo session either. Like if you can do all of our couples photos in 15 minutes, like that sounds awesome. So that connects very well with my style of client. But if somebody's looking for more of like a more proper full shoot, like a 2 hour photo session on the wedding day, like obviously they're not even going to probably like click through to the next page to see who I am. So I think just by being very honest, and be honest with yourself too, because it took me a long time to try not to just be everyone or everything to everyone, to really kind of dial back and be like, these are the things that make me happy. And by writing those down, I feel like I've started to attract the clients that I feel like I'm just showing up to my friends' weddings pretty much every week now, which is awesome.
Nice, nice. So on the homepage is probably the first place to put it. I mean, I thought for sure you're going to be telling me Instagram stories, YouTube, and putting it out there wherever you can. Like, do you repurpose those videos, or do you make one for your homepage and that's the only place it sits?
I would say the main place and like kind of the number one place I would have it. Other than that, yeah, like obviously keeping a good up-to-date Instagram presence is also very good. And it's something that I personally struggle at, because there's so many avenues like of different places you can upload your content. Like I'll forget about Pinterest for like a year and a half, and then I'll just be like, oh crap, I need to upload like everything that I shot this year to here, to just like have it search. And it's like, it's a pain. So the more you can kind of stay on top of things, or if you do have a full-time job and you really just need help, you can always find somebody to help you with social media as well. And I don't think that it necessarily diminishes your social presence. Obviously they can't be making like Instagram stories for you, but just managing the day-to-day and making sure that you're uploading every day, if you're busy and out there living your life and doing other things, it is helpful to have, whether it's just like one or two posts a week, or if it's content every day. But I think it's also just important, like anytime that you have a good shoot that you think is like, that is going to look really cool and that you should have the behind the scenes footage of, it's just like get somebody to come and just shoot it. And if you don't have it out by Monday, it's not a big deal. I have like a lot of content that I've filmed over the past like 5 years that I will at some point release, but it's like, it's not an immediate thing, but I know that I have it if I ever need to do like a sparkler send off video, or if I need to do like a smoke bomb photo or whatever, that you have kind of all this footage that you can kind of build and mold into different things. Like, especially if you're writing voiceover, if you're writing a story for it, that you can repurpose that content into a bunch of different videos over a bunch of different platforms, and it's super valuable.
So with you and where you're at and the, you know, where your business is going, why don't you outsource all that stuff?
I should. And I've had struggles. So I guess like, so I have a very, maybe not a formula for like wedding highlight videos, but it's a lot more of a linear editing system. And I feel like my YouTube content, the reason that I personally take on that responsibility is because I know where all of the random pieces are, that if I get to a spot and I need to go into more detail, that I can find that footage somewhere, that I feel like I have a better full picture of how to write the story of what that content is going to be, rather than a wedding where it's a lot easier to just kind of be like, okay, this is the story. I don't always know what the story is. And then a lot of the editing that I do, a lot of the humor that I add is all in post-production, because I'm not really funny in real life. And if I sit there and I write some jokes for 5 minutes and then I'm like, okay, this one's pretty good, then at that point I can actually make something that's a little bit more entertaining to watch, even though like wedding photography, like footage is typically, I wouldn't say boring, but it's not, it wouldn't be something that you'd expect to be like laughing at. But when I have time to sit down and actually write something and put the story together with, while also giving information, I think it's a pretty good thing.
Okay, so you're talking now about videos that you create for photographers. So video that you've captured while shooting stills at a wedding.
Yeah, but it's all stuff that like I'll use that for YouTube to like for educational purposes, and then I'll use it for my own like my own photography business as well, because I have that footage, and to have a catalog of kind of all behind the scenes stuff, it's definitely something that I would recommend, like just start building it now, even if you don't officially know what the end use is, to have a pretty good idea, but to really just kind of have that database of like, if you can bring someone to your best like 5 weddings of the year and you can get sign off to actually use that video content, the behind the scenes stuff, that's an incredibly valuable thing to have.
Cool. Okay. So that same footage you're shooting is going to be used for the bride and groom and their families, and for photographers for teaching.
Yeah. It's confusing.
That's cool. That is cool. All right. So, I mean, you've mentioned YouTube a couple of times. So have I. When should the listener consider having a YouTube channel?
It depends what your goal is. I would say that SEO wise, it's amazing to have, like, if you shoot a wedding, especially if you shoot a wedding video, to have that up on YouTube, just for when people are searching for the venue that they can come across that. But I would say there's no real right or wrong time, that the sooner you start, like, you might as well just start now if you don't have one, because it's not going to do any harm, but it will eventually, like every video asset that you upload, like it just appreciates. So if you upload a video of a wedding that you shot, even the slideshow, that at some point that you're going to come back to it and it's going to have like 2,000 or 3,000 views, then you really haven't promoted it. It's just been Google just sending people in that direction.
Okay. Is there any tricks or anything that you suggest that we do to help with our SEO if you're using YouTube?
I would say as long as you're naming things with what people search for, and that's kind of the best practice. And then also maybe outside of the scope of just creating wedding slideshows, maybe this is more big picture, I guess, but anything that you can do to create helpful content for people that are searching. So if they come across like this wedding that you shot at whatever venue, and then there's like a clip of you actually talking about like how you plan a wedding at this venue, or like the 5 best things, and here are some other venues to also consider. And if you can become not necessarily the wedding planner, but the person giving them ideas, there's a pretty good chance that they're going to look at you as the expert in weddings, and you're probably pretty likely to get hired based on that.
I like that. So we've been talking a little bit about this already amongst the members for PhotoBizX. So this is where you're creating, I guess, the idea that you're the expert in your local area. So you can do that with video.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would say it's like the number one, the easiest tool. And speaking like from my experience, I was the most uncomfortable person in front of a camera for a very long time, but I just kept doing it over and over again. And eventually I got pretty good at it. So I realized it was a necessary skill to get good at in order to be successful, or at least success in the direction of the career that I wanted to go, which I guess was maybe just a general content creator that specializes in weddings.
Cool. Okay. So do you leave your old videos up there, even if you still cringe at them?
I take some down. I don't love, specifically for like the educational stuff, I put up a few somewhat controversial videos at times. And at some point I'm just kind of like, I just get bored of policing the comments because people just get mean to each other. So I've taken some of those down. But I don't think I've taken too many ones down. Like, if it's good, helpful information, and yeah, I'm happy to leave it up. And I think it's kind of cool, like, to at least to never delete that stuff. Like, if you are, just make it private so that you can go back and you can, like, look at how far that you've come kind of over the years. And then at some point, bring that back up and you can make a video based on, like, how cringeworthy you were when you were, like, 18, 19, 20, trying to be a photographer.
Cool. Okay. I mean, you have done and appeared in a lot of video now. And I know that the listener, you know, that they're like you just said, you know, they cringe at the idea of being on video themselves. Is there any way to get better at it more quickly, or is it just practice?
I think it's practice. I think it's also finding your strengths and or your weaknesses. Like, I can't sit in front of just like a white wall and talk. I see that frame of me and it's just like, it's impossible for me to really do anything, I guess, with that. But I found that if I'm out doing something, and specifically if I'm doing something alone, I actually have a video, it's like a Venice travel blog at some point. It's a video on YouTube where I kind of show all the behind the scenes of me just being completely incapable of actually doing like the Peter McKinnon style like vlog where you're like just super engaging and talking to the camera and there's like all kinds of people around and it's a busy space. I have to be completely alone. If somebody else sees me like speaking to a camera by myself, I just like freeze. So, but that's what I found, like that if I find like a secluded like alley or something, like I can record there no problem. But then as soon as I'm out in a public space, it becomes really, really challenging for me. So find what works for you and then just like keep doing that. And eventually you'll get better at the other stuff. Like if I'm out doing a video in public now, I'm a little bit better, but I would still rather not. I'd rather have my own space and create there.
Okay. So let me give you a situation. You're at a venue and there's no wedding there. It's just you. And you're going to record some tips for a potential clients down the road that might look at that venue as a great venue. How do you do that? Do you take a tripod and an SLR? Do you take a GoPro? Do you use your phone? Talk me through how you would do that.
So I feel like going into that situation specifically, I feel like you almost have to put on like a little bit of a show. So you almost have to bring a video person and like set up some lights, I guess, just to make it look like you're actually doing a thing. But my personal most happy place, I guess, would be that if I just had a camera on a tripod and then I just kind of use the tripod like a selfie stick whenever I need to, that's kind of what I'm the most comfortable with, that I can start speaking whenever I want to speak. If I just want to like pause for a minute, that's fine. I know that I have final edit on the footage and no one else is going to see this. Maybe that actually kind of circles back to the other comment that why I don't have an editor for my YouTube content is because like a lot of it, I would feel uncomfortable just releasing like the full project files and everything to somebody else because there's just so much like garbage in there that I feel like I'm like a hack most of the time. So, but I'm able to piece it together into what I want it to be. But I think maybe only I can see what I want it to be. But yeah, my happy place is just like usually being by myself or having a task to do. We also do a food show. So if I'm in a kitchen, if I'm like working with food or if I'm like eating like a meal or whatever, I kind of forget more about the cameras. But definitely just like having a camera person like news style just like on me isn't a place that I'm the most comfortable unless I know exactly what I want to say.
Premium members of PhotoBiz Exposed hear more of the best photography business strategies from every guest.
This, the stuff that we've been talking about today, is this the kind of stuff that you share, you know, on your Patreon account?
Yeah. So every Monday there's a video that's completely custom to whatever's kind of happening either in the industry or just whatever I'm currently thinking about or experimenting with. And I give kind of metrics on that as well as like my Photoshop or Lightroom presets and my contract is on there and pricing lists and all kinds of different stuff. And then Wednesday is kind of an Ask Me Anything style podcast. So it's just usually like 20, 30 questions a week that I'll just go through and answer my thoughts on whatever's asked.
So the members can actually post questions to you and you answer those questions.
Yeah, every single week. And that's awesome because my thing was like, I've always been creating content and just kind of like blasting it out into different platforms. And it's really cool to have a weekly kind of Ask Me Anything style thing where people can follow up with other questions or that like they actually will interact and be like, hey, like, so I tried this thing and here's my experience with it. And it's a cool like little micro community in the world.
Nice, nice. And then, so to find that Patreon account, where do we go?
It is patreon.com/TaylorJackson.
Okay, great. And the last question for you in regards to the music, is there going to be a band? Are you solo? What kind of music is it?
So the idea is that it's solo right now. For music, I think the easiest barrier to entry right now is if you can produce a couple good like hip hop beats and get it properly mastered and EQ'd, you can go from like absolute zero to sounding 3/4 radio ready pretty quickly. So that's kind of where I'm beginning with. And I have no idea where it's going to end over the year. That I'm on month 2. The goal is to get a million streams over this year on music, to make $50,000, which is apparently going to be the hardest part of this. And then also to meet Jimmy Fallon and bring him baked potatoes, because I think that's the funniest goal that I could come up with. And every time I say it, I laugh in my head. So it's a very personal goal.
That's great. And the $50,000, is that from the million views?
I don't think it will be. I think that that's also something that I'm interested with, is like actually just figuring out what the streaming economy actually is, because there, even on YouTube, like there's lots of people out there that are sharing like what they're getting paid, but everything just seems kind of all over the place. So I kind of want to actually experience it for myself and see what it actually looks like. And then outside of that, I don't know how I'm going to make money. So that's why I'm struggling with that. But it seems awesome. From industry friends, they've said it's relatively easy to meet people, but very hard to get anyone to sign check. So we'll see. It gives me hope for baked potatoes to Jimmy Fallon.
All right. And I'm guessing the best place to follow along is Instagram or YouTube. Which one?
I would say Instagram. That's where I have all my content that kind of links out to everything. So it's usually swipe up ads on my Instagram stories to get to whatever content came out today, because I feel like I release something almost like every day now, which is overwhelming as a content creator to be like, okay, I guess this is just like every day I need a new idea and it needs to be like better than yesterday's idea. So
wow.
It's fun, but it's definitely like a mental process.
Taylor, you have been amazing, mate. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. This was great.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Taylor Jackson as much as I did. Taylor, if you're listening, thank you, mate, so much for coming on. I know we went back and forth a ton of times to be able to set up this interview, and I'm so glad we stuck at it and I was able to get you on the show. I loved everything you had to share, and I love what you're doing, mate, with your business and the lifestyle that you created for yourself. So again, thank you so much for coming on and sharing what you did. For you, the listener, I do hope you got as much as I did from Taylor. I'd love to hear about your takeaways. Is there one thing that Taylor said or one thing that he suggested that you should do in your business that you will absolutely go away and implement? Because if there is, I would love to hear about it. Let me know in the show notes for today's episode, or if you're a premium member, let's chat about it inside the members Facebook group. Even if he's inspired you to record your very first video, I would love to hear about that. Now, in regards to the show notes, you can find them at photobizx.com/307. And in those show notes, you'll find links to anything and everything that Taylor mentioned, including details about his music project, his social media profiles, his YouTube channel. It's all there in the show notes. At the very bottom of those, you'll find a comments area. So if you do have a follow-up question for Taylor, you can hit him up there. I know he'll be happy to come back and answer anything you ask. And if you are a premium member, I'll be adding Taylor into the members Facebook group. So we'll have access to him right there at our fingertips. That is it for this episode of the podcast. Don't forget, if you're looking to learn more about Evergreen Facebook Ad Funnels, the course starts Wednesday. That's 2 days from now. It's not too late to register. And if you do miss the first session, there will be recordings if you are registered. And you can sign up and learn more over at photobizx.com/funnel. That's F-U-N-N-E-L. Looking forward to seeing you there in the class if you have already registered. It's going to be a jam-packed 3 weeks. Be ready for a little bit of homework and get ready to start building out your very own funnel for your business. It's going to be fun. All right, that really is it for me. Have a great week. I will talk to you soon. Bye for now.
If you have enjoyed this episode, head to photobizx.com. Join the conversation, leave a comment, and share your thoughts on the interview with Andrew and today's special guest.